separation. I laid some principles down for separation. And folks, people don't want you to be against anything or any person. Now, I know we shouldn't be negative. When I stand behind the pulpit, I want to lift up Jesus Christ. I don't get a lot of joy out of being against things. But I have to be against that which is wrong. You understand that? Now, I'd rather preach on Jesus and heaven and the new birth and things like that all the time. There's a home prepared where the saints abide. Now, that thrills my soul. I mean, those are thrills. But now, folks, we've got to be against sin and compromise and that which would hurt the old-time religion, see. We've got to be against it. And I, as a pastor, you know, it's my job to expose things to you that's wrong. Now, you've got to be discerning and make sure I am lined up with the Word of God, see. I mean, don't just take anybody's, just because they're a preacher. I mean, there's one that's starting 45 years in prison, and he had millions following him. So just because a man says a preacher, no sign that he's preaching the truth. Now, if anything I don't say is the truth, don't you take it. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, don't you accept it. Isn't that fair enough? Isn't that fair enough? And that's why I'm a Bible-believing, independent Baptist. I think we are closer to the truth. That doesn't mean we're on the only ones God's blessing. That's not right. But I believe it's the closest to the truth. There's good people in many churches, saved people in many churches. But I want us to have the truth, and I want us to stand for the truth. And I don't want us to have any truth with that admixture of error around Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. I don't want us to yoke up with things that's wrong. Now, that's my heart. I want us to win souls and keep doing the work of God. But in doing that, we've got to be just like you mothers. You try to keep your kids away from germs. When they're sick, you take care of the disease, the illness, the problem. You take care of that. And the same way the preacher, we've got to take care of the spiritual infirmities and spiritual germs. We've got to keep them out of the church and try to warn people of the spiritual diseases and spiritual cancers. And that's why I'm teaching you, not that I'm gonna mention some names tonight, and I don't like to do that, but I want you to know. I want you to know so you won't fall prey. Now, you know where a lot of Jim Baker's money came from? From unbeknowing Baptists and Methodists and Presbyterians who got hoodwinked into this false doctrine. Millions of Baptist dollars went into Jim Baker. But the Lord has a way of taking care of things, doesn't he? So let's have a word of prayer before we get going to Father. Father, we thank you now for this privilege of coming here tonight to the house of God. And I pray, Lord, for everything that's going on in these grounds right now, our Wana boys and girls, our nursery back there. And Lord, thank you for the good crowd you give us in the Wanas. And bless us here in this auditorium, Lord, as we look into this doctrine of separation tonight. Lord, we don't want to just be against people, but we want to go God's way and be obedient to the Word of God and love the Lord and be faithful to Him, cleaving to that which is good and shunning that which is not right and not in line with the Word of God. And Father, help me now. I want to teach, Lord, what you want me to teach, and I want to be fair, and I want to follow the Word of God. Would you help me? Give me discerning power tonight, wisdom of the Holy Spirit, I pray. And may our church be true to thee. May we keep separated, not only morally from that which is wrong, but also ecclesiastically, Lord, from that which is religiously wrong and not lining up with the Word of God. Help tonight. Bless in this study in Jesus' name. Lord, help me now and anoint me as I teach this so important lesson if our church is going to remain a fundamental Bible-believing a church that's true to the Word of God. Help me to instill these principles tonight. Give me wisdom, Holy Spirit. Give me power. And give me the hearts and minds of the people. And may we respond to the principles of God's Word tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Let me just review just briefly what we said last Wednesday night. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 2 Corinthians. Um, Let me just read verse 14 to you again. 2 Corinthians, page 1234 in your old Schofield Reference Bible. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? The answer is obvious. None. And what communion hath light with darkness? The answer is N-O-N-E. No. No. Communion. Then move down to verse 17. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I hope you'll do this, and it would be a good thing if you do it, and make up your mind. No, he said, if you want me to receive you, you're going to have to do that. You're going to have to come out. The double negative here, come out and separate. A double emphasis on separation. And God said, don't touch it. Don't touch it. And he said, then if you will, God says, here's what I'll do. I'll receive. Now, folks, isn't that simple? I mean, people don't want to go by God's word. There it is. I mean, now I'm not smarter than you ever came down a pipe. I can see that. I mean, I don't think you have to be too smart to see that. That if you want God to bless you, you're going to have to come out from among them and be ye separate. And touch not the unclean thing, that which the unbelievers and the unrighteous and darkness and error come out from among them. And then, there's just no two ways about it. You're going to have to be separate from the world and from ecclesiastical religious error if God's going to bless you. And then verse 18, and it will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Then turn over to Romans. Romans 16. Romans 16, 17 and 18. Romans 16, 17 and 18. Now I beseech you, Romans 16, verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them. Now notice, don't sweep them under the rug. Say, they're good people, they're religious people, they're nice people. No. Mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrines. Contrary to doctrines, Paul said, which ye have learned. That Paul, under the influence of the Holy Ghost, gave them doctrines sent from heaven. And he said, the doctrines I've given you, he told this church, he said, if people come in and teach something contrary, then the doctrines I have given you, he said, which ye have learned, and he said, avoid them. He said, mark them. I mean, there's somebody that's causing divisions contrary to the word, and just avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. If a man is a good man and a good speaker, a good teacher, intelligent, and teaches things contrary to the word of God, they're serving not the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care how religious they are. But their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. And how true that is. Now, I as I've said, I won't split this church over, and I won't break fellowship with people over preferences. There's a lot of things you know that I prefer, and I have preferences that are different than convictions, doctrinal convictions. You know my position on pants on women. You know hair, that I like you. Look, a man look like a man, and a lady look like a lady from your haircut. But now, see, that's a preference. That's my preference. Where the hair ought to come down to a little above your ear or to your ear, a little below, I have a preference. Now, the Bible says it ought not be long on a man, but I have a preference on that. But the thing is, what I'm saying, I won't split this church over where how long your hair is. Now, I think it's feminine. You're a sissy if you have it on down your back, but still, though, that's, then it becomes, then it gets in the Word of God when you get very long. Men. I'm talking about men. What I'm saying, there's some things that are preferences, but on doctrinal convictions, there can be no compromise. And then, if I had to split this church right down the middle, I would, over the Word of God. I mean, if people teach the Word of God, it's not inspired, full of errors and contradictions, I mean, we'd have to have a showdown. And we'd either have to, they'd have to run me off or that crowd have to leave if they're teaching something, a teaching that the Bible is not fully inspired. You see, though, I mean, see, folks, we can't compromise on that. See, there's no compromise. And on the virgin birth, if somebody would come in here and teach that, or he'd start preaching here, and I admit that he preached that the virgin birth, just you can't be sure, he just accept it by faith. Well, I mean, I'd stop him, and he wouldn't preach another lick. And see, we can't, there is no compromise. If people start teaching there's no real heaven or no real hell or Jesus is no real second coming thing, I mean, see, we couldn't. Those are basic doctrines. So, now, last week I gave you I told you this is a sign of the Antichrist and apostates. But here I'm going to use one tonight, but not much. Now, I gave you this last week, so I'm just going to just a minute or two on this. The approach to separation, CIA, first of all, is content. C is content. And what does the Bible say? All scriptures give them inspiration of God and is proper for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, righteousness, according to 2 Timothy 3:16. So the Bible is the basis for what we believe and practice. It doesn't matter what a preacher says. It doesn't matter what a school teaches. It doesn't matter what a church, their doctrines are. It doesn't matter what anybody says, or it doesn't matter what anybody's had experience saying that. Now, folks, you better be careful. A lot of people are selling their experiences off on people, and it's not according to the Word of God. So it's not what people say or what experiences they've had, but what does God say in His Word? So content. And then the second is, the first thing, we need to decide the content. And then we need to read it for what it says, and then we need to study it for what God means in His Word. What does He mean? Now, 2 Peter 1, 20, you may turn to that if you want to, right quick. 2 Peter 1:20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scriptures is of any private interpretation. That's always bothered me, but that private interpretation means it's not according to what I think it is. It's according to what I don't have a right to interpret it. Just what I think, put my thoughts in there, but I am to interpret God's Word for what God is saying there and what God means in His Word. That is, when we interpret it, we ought to dig in and try to find out, now what is God saying and what does God mean right here in this verse? And we need to have the right interpretation. Now we can differ on interpretations, but not on fundamental doctrines now. And now we can differ on divorce. We can differ on the Lord's Day. You know my position's plain on those, but good people differ on those things. And on, there's closed and open communion, and there are people, Baptists fight over that. But really, that's an interpretation. But we can't differ on inspiration, the virgin birth, second coming, and things like that. We can differ on minors, but not on fundamentals. And then, now here comes the hard part. Content, interpretation, and A, application. And that's where the rubber meets the road. That's where we get in trouble, when we start applying the Word of God. And do you know most compromisers, new evangelicals, they'll give you content, interpretation, but they don't make applications. They're afraid they'll lose people and lose money. But that's where you help people and get them solid in the Word. It's not just interpretation. You've got to apply it to where we live. Romans 14:5 says, one man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Now, that's the key to application. We need to be persuaded in our own mind. This is what God means, and this is how it applies to my life, to me, in my situation. Now, God wrote the Bible, and He laid it upon men by the Holy Ghost to write the Word of God, and He wrote it in application form. Now, why did God write it in application form? Would it be easier if we had a long list of things, do this and don't do that? Boy, I'd like that, wouldn't you? But it's in application and principle form. Now, there's a lot of not, thou shalt nots and thou shalt do's in the Word of God, but a lot of it is application, applying God's Word to my situation under the influence of the Holy Spirit. But God wrote it in application form so it could be, the Word of God was written almost 2,000 years ago, the New Testament, and thousands of years ago in the Old Testament. And folks, the New Testament written 2,000 years ago for the church of the first century is just as applicable today as it was back then and vice versa. So the Word of God can be applied to any age, to any circumstance, to any climate, to any environment, to any culture. Now sin is always sin. When the Bible clearly says something is wrong, it's sin. It's always sin. But now, you're going to have to see this. Applications can be different in different times and different circumstances. As I said last week, there's some sections of Africa where tithes are a sin. I wish there were sin around Grace Station, in Indianapolis, another place. I wish we'd go to the Latin America. Well, most of the world, their formal dress is an open, what do they call those shirts? What? Okay, I don't hear what you said, but that's right. I'll take your word. But those looked a lot more comfortable to me. But anyway, and then when I was a boy, spiritual ladies didn't wear earrings. Well, now everybody wears earrings now, or most of them, many of them do, and it's not a sin. And so that doesn't, now, the Bible nowhere says earrings are a sin, but unless you overdo it and gaudy and things like that. But it's in the 50 years ago, it's different than it is today. And things that good people, spiritual people, wouldn't do years ago could do now because of different times and circumstances. But Paul said in 1 Corinthians 8:13, wherefore if meat, well, I better just move on. If meat offend my brother, I'll eat it as the world, as long as the world should stand. There's some things that might be okay for you to do, and you could do them and still be a Christian, but it hurts your testimony. Now, I won't separate myself from a person over applications, where you, things like that, but over doctrine. God's Word says to avoid them. Now, I have to make decisions all the time. Just like I was asked to join in a pro-life rally, and I'm against abortion with every ounce of strength in my body. But I was asked to join with all kind of religious groups in a meeting, last Monday in Kingsport. Now, I told a dear man that called me, I said, listen, I'm with you. I'm for this emphasis. But I said, I'll make my own emphasis here, and they can make their emphasis in their own church. So I wouldn't have to get together in an ecumenical type situation. I'm asked to get involved in things like that. Preachers want to come here. They want me to join this, want me to join that. And so I have to make decisions, and I must make my decisions on the Word of God, not because of a personality, not because I like somebody, don't dislike them, but on the Word of God. And folks, issues are tearing our Bible-believing churches apart today. Brother Bob will tell you that. He's around all these, I see him in a lot of these conferences, and he'll tell you, and he's around from different churches, and they're torn all to pieces over issues, and we're divided into this school, and this school, and this school, and I back this school, and he backs that school, or I'm in this camp, and he's in that camp, and he's in that camp. And what can we do when issues come up? Which way should we go? Who should we back? Now, folks, there's only one answer. Find out which way God's going in His Word and go with God. Now, you better do that. Now, I've got four men here tonight that I want to introduce to you. So, the first one on your left, we'll call him the unsaved man. Now, I have the scripture verses I've already read for this man here. 2 Corinthians 6:14-17 and Romans 16:17-18. So I won't go back over that. But this man, the unsaved man, he denies the cardinal doctrines of the faith. Now, he may be religious and may say, I am a Christian, but he is not saved, folks, if he denies the cardinal doctrines of the faith. So I term this first man, the unsaved man who denies the cardinal doctrines of the faith, I call him a liberal, a modernist. 1 John 4:3 says, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. Anybody who denies the cardinal doctrines of the faith is not of God, even though he might be a preacher in a big church or a teacher, a renowned teacher in a seminary. Now, it's not that they don't understand it. It's, folks, they have rejected it. See, rejected the truth. And if any man denies the cardinal, any cardinal doctrine of this faith, of the Word of God, then on the authority of the Word of God, on the authority of the Word of God, Romans that I read you, Romans 16, verse 17, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrines which ye have learned, and avoid them. And then I read, come out from among them, the unbelievers. So that this is ecclesiastical or religious separation. Now let me apply that. I am not to yoke up with a liberal, the unsaved man who denies the cardinal doctrine of the faith in a citywide evangelistic crusade. People say, well, Brother Lashley, aren't you for winning souls? Yeah, but not contrary to the Word of God, see. Did you know that Jesus does not want you to win souls to Him and violate His Word? No, we go win people according to God's Word. And so, by the way, you churches ruin themselves when they get involved with liberals to try to win souls. You don't help the liberals too much, and you destroy a Bible-believing church. A spiritual cancer gets in. So, I'm not to, if a man is an unbeliever, if he's a liberal, he might be a religious person, I'm not to get involved with him in pro-life rallies or false doctrine. I'm not getting with sects. I'm not to get involved with an unbeliever in a denomination. If the denomination has unbelievers in the seminaries, I'm not to give them a penny, or I'm violating the Word of God. It says, and mark them and avoid them, not support them. Pray for them, but avoid them. And so, and then if he's an unbeliever, I'm not to have him preach in his pulpit. Now, folks, listen to me. If you don't understand, let the Holy Ghost teach you what I'm saying now. If Gene Lash would die of a heart attack, this church could go down the drain quick. You better see this principle, that you can't let men in this pulpit whose doctrines are not straight. Then, on and on, you see the point I'm bringing. So now I can be a friend to this man, this unsaved man. I mean, on a personal basis. If he's downtown, his old Red Barn shop, over Red Barn Restaurant, if he wants to buy me a cup of coffee, I'll go in and drink a cup of coffee with him. And if he wants to go out hunting with me and my beagles, he's welcome to come along. My dogs might turn on him. I might sick my dogs on him. But see what I'm saying? But religiously, we're not to yoke up with it, because the Bible says to avoid it. Now, I have to make a decision. Here's this unsaved man, unsaved religionist, liberal. What am I to do with it? Go back to God's Word. God's Word said in Romans 6:17, I'm to mark him and avoid him. And in 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing. So I am to separate myself. That is very clear. Now, the second man is a little more touchy. A little harder. The fun starts here now. I'm sure everybody, or most everybody here tonight, would agree with me on what to do with a liberal and unsaved man who denies some cardinal doctrines, who does not believe this Bible is fully inspired and does not believe that Jesus was a virgin-born Son of God and the miracles, things like that. But now the next man is a little different. Gets a little touchy. This man, as you can see, I've termed him the disobedient brother. Now, he says, the disobedient brother, The disobedient brother says, well, hey, wait a minute now. This man says he's a Christian. And he's a good man. He's a moral man. He says he believes in the Christ of the Bible. So I'm not going to separate myself from him. No, I won't do that. We can all get together around Christ. And the disobedient brother is a brother. He's saved, see. He believes the same as I do that Jesus is the Son of God. And so now you see where the problem starts and how we have to discern now what's the mind of God about this. So now if this brother believes same as I do, disobedient, he's a saved man. He believes Jesus, Son of God, believes the Bible's Word of God. Now, if he yokes up and supports and sends money to the unsaved liberal, modernist, what am I to do with a disobedient brother? He's a good man. He's my brother. He's saved. So we've got to go again. We've got to go back to the Word of God. Turn over to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians 3. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 6, page 1272. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, Paul the apostle writing, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother. Notice they're brothers. They're saved. They're brothers, but they walk disorderly. And why do they walk disorderly? They walk not after the tradition, the doctrines, the teachings, which he has received of us. They rejected Paul's teachings. They wouldn't preach what Paul taught. They wouldn't live according to it. And Paul says, they're saved, they're brothers, but withdraw yourself from them. Look at verse 14. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, Paul said, I'm writing under the influence of the Holy Ghost, and if he will not obey this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Now, you don't supposed to hate him. You're not supposed to sock him in the nose. You're supposed to treat him as a brother. But say, now, brother, I can't fellowship with in an organization. I can't join up with you because you're supporting those liberals. And you do it to try to let the Holy, he's saved, and you try to let the Holy Spirit convict him through your stand. Then look on at verse 15. Yet count him not as an enemy. I mean, these people we disagree with, we should treat them kindly and nice, be nice to them. Just say, now brother, here's what the Word teaches. Now what are you going to do with this Word, this verse, see? And admonish him as a brother. So the Bible says to separate from a brother who walks not according to the Word of God. He's saved. He's maybe a soul winner, maybe a good preacher, maybe a kind fellow. But we're to separate from the unsaved man, and then we're to separate from the disobedient brother who walks not according to the Word of God. Now, a lot of people can't see that. They say, well, he loves Jesus and he's saved, so we'll get together on what we agree on. Well, what if he supports people who deny the Bible, deny the virgin birth, and has them in his pulpit? See, I mean, you can love him as a brother, but withdraw yourself from him, according to the Word of God. Now, my brother Don, he's held two good revivals many years ago in this church, but he supports the cooperative program. He's a good man, graduate of Bob Jones University, and I love him. He's my brother. He believes basically the same as I do on all the doctrines, but since we pulled out of the convention, I haven't had him to preach in this church because I don't have anybody who supports the cooperative program and gives to liberals to preach from this pulpit. I think it violates the Word of God, see. And why won't I do it? Well, 2 Thessalonians 3:6 says, withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh not disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. And so the Bible says to withdraw or to avoid the unsaved man, withdraw from the disobedient man. Now, the fun's going to keep getting a little bit better now. We'll get a little closer to home, and I'm running out of time here. But the next brother is we'll call him the questionable brother. Questionable brother. This is where the spiritual discerning person has to take over. The carnal person can't see this point. It takes people who are grounded in the Word, who want to do God's will above everything else in this world. Now the questionable brother says, "Why, he believes the same as I do." The disobedient brother, he's fundamental, he's a soul winner, he's clean, he's premillennial. And why should I separate from him? See. And so even though this disobedient brother may join an ecumenical meetings and be a member of the ministerial alliance or ministerial assassination, and might have liberals in his church, yet he's a good man. So we're brothers. And I just don't see why he's a soul winner. Why should I withdraw from him? I won't do it. So he's a questionable brother. Now, should I have fellowship with a questionable brother? Now, that man may be a fundamentalist. He may be a Bible believer. But he's a questionable brother in his association. And so that's the problem. And what do I do with good men like this questionable brother? The questionable brother may be a great preacher, may be spiritual, may be led by the Spirit, but he has questionable practices. Now what do I do with him? Well, I'll tell you what I do, and this is what I feel like I ought to do. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. I have problems with a questionable brother having in his pulpit and going to preach for disobedient brothers who will support Billy Graham meetings, who will have liberals in their church. I have some problems with that because that can get among your people. It can infect good people. So I won't have him in my pulpit here. I won't cooperate with him too closely. I won't be on his board, and I won't go to speak at his school or his conference. It may be lawful, I may be lawfully right in going ahead and cooperating with him in every way, but to me, it's just, there's something wrong with it. It's not expedient. And Romans 14 says that if I'm not fully persuaded, I shouldn't do it. I've seen Billy Graham go in my lifetime from a Bible-believing man, a saved man, to a questionable brother, over to a disobedient brother, cooperating with everything that comes down the pike. That's why I don't support the Billy Graham crusades. He's doing it. For every soul that's saved through Billy Graham, I rejoice. I believe he's a saved man. But according to the Word of God, if he yokes up with liberals and unbelievers, I'm to withdraw from him, according to the Word of God. Now, tighten your seat belts, folks. Everybody got your seat belts tightened? People ask me all the time, what about Jerry Falwell? Well, he's one of the nicest guys I ever met in my life. He's Mr. Personality. And he's a saved man. No doubt about that. Doing a lot of good. If he's running for president, I'd vote for him, wouldn't you? Certainly I would. I'd be glad to vote for him. But he has Southern Baptist in his pulpit, president of the convention. He speaks at the Southern Baptist convention. He yokes up with highly questionable characters, and there he was sitting over and taking over PTL with all those charismatics and all that crazy religious rock. And folks, I just can't go along with that. I'm not saying he's not saved. He's does far more than I do. Has much better personality than I do, much better preaching. I'm winning more souls than I am. But that stuff's still wrong. I don't care how much he does. So I've got to stand before God for myself. And I don't support him or his college. I was asked to come up and speak at Liberty Baptist College, and I wouldn't go up there because I didn't want to be associated with it, see. And Dr. Lakin one time, He said, when he's over here in revival, he said, John City, he said, Gene, guess who has talked to this morning? I knew he talked to Jerry Falwell. He didn't call him every day. Jerry had called him. And one morning I went over for breakfast with Dr. Lakin, and he said, guess who was talking to us morning? I said, was it Dr. Falwell? He said, yeah. He said, I tell him I was having a good time, man, all you boys. And Dr. Falwell said, has Gene Lashley been criticizing me? And Lakin said, no, no, no. And we're all criticizing him, Lakin too, as far as that's concerned. But why would I take that position? To be against somebody? No, I prefer being for everybody but the devil. But it sends the wrong signals. You got to watch where you go. You send the wrong signals if you get in the wrong place, around the wrong people. And it's the same thing. I couldn't have Jerry Falwell to stand here and preach and let him go over there and sit before the PTL mic around the charismatics and turn on that gospel dancing bunch and religious rock. And then go out and preach the Southern Baptist Convention and stop by at the First Baptist Dallas on his way back and preach there. It'd be wrong. Now, do you see the scriptural principle? Now, folks, now, if I drop dead of a heart attack right now, there'll be some people, there'll be men everywhere that couldn't see this principle. And if you don't see it, you'll get the wrong person in here. I want to keep this church a fundamental. I've seen churches. The preacher, a good man, when he leaves, wouldn't preach principle, wouldn't preach against sin, wouldn't preach against compromisers, and brother, compromisers followed him. So you can see the problem. Jerry Johnson, great young evangelist, got under Jerry Falwell's influence of cooperating Southern Baptists and everything come down the pike. He left the Independent Baptist movement, and he went into the Southern Baptist so he could get the big offerings and get the big churches. So you can see the problem. Well, my time is up. Let me see what I... So, now the thing is, I'm giving you my opinion based on what I think the Word of God teaches. Now, you have to stand for God for yourself. What do you think God's Word teaches on these verses I give you? Huh? You read the same verses I read. I mean, am I to support a questionable brother and let him in his pulpit that has questionable practice? The Bible says no. Am I a man that won't walk according to the Word of God? He might be a good man. Am I to forget that? No, the Bible says to withdraw from it. So, folks, it's a matter of where we're going to obey the Word of God. Now, so get to know God's Word and let God tell you what you ought to do for yourself and your home. And I love Bob Jones, and I love Curtis Hudson, and Mays Jackson, Ron Comfort, and these other fine fundamental leaders. But folks, I can't let them make my decision for me. I won't bow toward Bob Jones three times a day. It's not my spiritual Mecca or Chattanooga or Nashville or Hammond or Lynchburg or any. I won't bow to any Protestant Pope. And I don't want you to either. And I don't want you to even bow to old Pope Lashby. But I want you to get to know God. Folks, get to know God. And get to know His Word. How do you get to know God? You get saved and get in the Word, live right and get in the Word. And then base your decisions on what you think God's Word teaches. Now, there's a lot of good men who are questionable men and disobedient, questionable brothers and disobedient. A lot of good men. I got some good friends that I'd put in those categories. And I love them. But they're questionable. Now let me just, I got 1 minute. The saved man is the man who tries to live by the Word of God and obey the Word of God. That's the fundamental Bible-believing man. Now folks, right there is our rule of faith and practice. And he tries to believe, he believes the fundamental doctrines of the Word, and he obeys the Word, and he will only fellowship with those who line up with the Word of God. Now, where are you on this chart? Where are you tonight? Are you an unsaved person? You don't know Christ? I hope that's not you don't believe in the book and in the deity of Christ. Are you a disobedient brother? Are you a questionable brother? Or are you a saved, fundamental man woman, young person trying to live according to the Word of God. I hope that you're in this category, and or at least the questionable brother category. I hope that you're in the first two there. And that you make your decisions not on personalities or denominations, but you make your decisions on what God says in His Word. Well, I'm quitting on time. I didn't think I could do that. Just right now, according to my watch, it's 8:30. So let's stand and be dismissed with prayer.